God eftermiddag. Jeg hedder Chris.
I'm married to Malcolm, who's also on team here this week.
Jeg er gift med Malcolm, som også er på teamet den her uge.
And we have four adult children, all in their 20s.
Og vi har fire voksne børn, der alle sammen er i 20'erne.
There's a clue as to what I'm going to be speaking to you about this afternoon.
Der er et lille spor til, hvad jeg kommer til at tale om i eftermiddag.
Some of you may have noticed it.
Nogle af jer har måske lagt mærke til.
Especially those of you who have found that your seats disappeared over lunchtime, for which I apologize.
Især dem af jer, der har opdaget, at jeg sidder mig væk i løbet af frokosten, hvilket jeg undskylder for.
But I'm going to be speaking to you about the cross.
Jeg skal tale til jer om korset.
And speaking about the cross being the place of divine exchange.
Og hvordan korset er det sted, der sker en guddommelig udveksling.
When we ask God to deal with the things in our life, or perhaps when we're praying for other people,
når vi beder Gud om at gøre ting i vores liv, eller når vi beder for andre mennesker,
we know, don't we, about the importance of bringing things to the cross.
Så kender vi godt vigtigheden af at bringe ting til korset.
But we need to remember that Good Friday is not the end of the story.
Men vi må huske, at langfredag ikke er enden på historien.
We need to come not only to the cross, but through the cross to the place of resurrection life.
Vi må komme ikke bare til korset, men gennem korset til genopstandelsens liv.
So what's the deal? What is this divine exchange?
Så hvad er det, det handler om? Hvad går den her guddommelige udveksling ud på?
What do we give and what do we get?
Hvad er det, vi giver, og hvad er det, vi modtager?
Well, we give him our sin, and he extends forgiveness. We all know that bit, don't we?
Vi giver ham vores synd, og han udrækker tilgivelse til os. Den del kender vi alle sammen.
But also we give him our pain, and he extends healing.
Men vi giver ham også vores smerte, og så udrækker han helbredelse til os.
We take off our cloak of shame, and he gives us a robe of righteousness.
Vi tager vores kappe af skam af, og så giver han os en kappe af retfærdighed.
Isaiah 61 says, comfort for those who mourn.
I Isaias 61 står der, trøst til dem, der sørger.
A crown of beauty instead of ashes.
En krone af skønhed i stedet for aske.
The oil of gladness instead of mourning.
Og glædens olie i stedet for sorg.
A garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair.
En klædning af pris i stedet for en ånd af nedtrykthed.
That's the deal, isn't it wonderful?
Så det er aftalen, er det ikke vidunderligt?
That's what God wants to do as we step out in obedience.
Og det er det, Gud ønsker at gøre, når vi træder ud i lydighed.
And it's important to recognize that the cross is not just a place of identification.
Og det er vigtigt at forstå, at korset ikke bare er et sted, hvor vi får vores identitet.
It's a place of transfer.
Det er også et sted, hvor noget bliver overført.
If you are ministering to someone who has experienced rejection, for instance,
hvis du for eksempel betjener nogen, der har oplevet forkastelse,
it may be helpful to remind them that Jesus too experienced the pain of rejection.
Så kan det måske være en god idé at minde dem om, at Jesus også har oplevet smerten ved forkastelse.
If you are ministering to someone who suffers physical pain,
eller hvis du betjener nogen, som lider af fysisk smerte,
it may be helpful to remind them that Jesus suffered physical pain.
Så kan det være nyttigt at minde dem om, at Jesus også har lidt fysisk smerte.
And so understands their suffering.
Og at han forstår deres smerte.
But if this is the limit of our understanding of the cross,
men hvis det kun er så langt vores forståelse af korset rækker,
we come unstuck when ministering to someone who's been sexually abused.
Så kan vi ikke rigtig være med, når det gælder at betjene nogen, der er blevet seksuelt misbrugt.
Or perhaps a woman who has experienced several miscarriages.
Eller måske en kvinde, der har tabt et barn.
Or countless other experiences.
Eller mange andre oplevelser.
That were not a part of Jesus' life story when he was in flesh on the earth.
Som ikke var en del af Jesu livshistorie, da han var i kødet på jorden.
The cross is not merely a place where Jesus identifies with us in our pain.
Korset er ikke kun et sted, hvor Jesus identificerer sig med os i vores smerte.
It is a place of transfer.
Det er et sted, hvor der bliver overført noget.
We give him our pain.
Vi giver ham vores smerte.
And he pours out his healing upon us.
Og så udgiver han sin helbredelse på os.
This afternoon I'm going to tell you something of our story.
I eftermiddag vil jeg fortælle jer noget af vores historie.
And it's the story of when our children were born.
Og det er historien om, da vores børn blev født.
So it's back in the 80s.
Så det er tilbage i 80'erne.
And it's not because God hasn't done wonderful things in our lives since.
Og det er ikke fordi Gud ikke har gjort gode ting for os siden.
That I'm telling you a story of 30 years ago.
At jeg fortæller en historie, der er 30 år gammel.
It's because this is when I first understood for myself.
Det er fordi det var på det tidspunkt, jeg først forstod for mit eget vedkommende.
About the cross being a place of divine exchange.
At korset var et sted, hvor en guddommelig udveksling fandt sted.
And not just understood it, but began to appropriate it for myself.
Og ikke bare forstod det, men blev i stand til at tilegne mig det.
So I'm just going to give you some headlines of our life in the 80s.
Så jeg vil give jer nogle overskrifter fra vores liv i 80'erne.
In 1980, my mom was diagnosed as having skin cancer.
I 1980 blev min mor diagnosticeret med hudkræft.
It was a particularly aggressive form of cancer, a malignant melanoma.
Det var en særlig aggressiv form for kræft, malignant melanom, som er sådan en moderkræft.
And she had surgery and radiotherapy.
Og hun blev både opereret og fik strålebehandling.
The following year in 1981, our eldest child Michael was born.
I 1981 året efter blev vores ældste søn Michael født.
And in 1982, when Michael was 7 months old, my mum died.
Og i 1982, da Michael var 7 måneder gammel, døde min mor.
She was 58, and as well as being a very good mum to me, she was a good friend to Malcolm and I.
Hun var 58, og udover at være en god mor for mig, var hun også en god ven af Malcolm og jeg.
My mom died in the June.
Min mor døde i juni.
And at that time I was pregnant with our second child.
Og på det tidspunkt var jeg gravid med vores andet barn.
And in October that child died in utero when I was 7.5 months pregnant.
Og i oktober døde det barn ufødt, da jeg var 7.5 måneder gravid.
A little after then, Malcolm's mom was diagnosed as having breast cancer.
Og lidt efter det blev Malcolms mor diagnosticeret med brystkræft.
The following year, 1983, our daughter Catherine was born.
I året efter, 1983, blev vores datter Catherine født.
At the time, Malcolm was working as an architect in London.
Og på det tidspunkt arbejdede Malcolm som arkitekt i London.
And it was quite a forward-thinking firm that had given him 2 weeks paternity leave.
Og det var et ret progressivt firma, som havde givet ham 2 ugers barsel.
Which was good news, but the bad news was that on the day he returned to work, he was made redundant.
Og det var gode nyheder, men de dårlige nyheder var, at den dag han vendte tilbage til arbejdet, blev han frisat.
In 1984, my dad had a heart attack and had surgery for vascular problems.
I 1982 fik min far et hjerteslag og blev opereret for karproblemer.
And he was in and out of hospital so much I've kind of lost track of the details of that.
Og han var ind og ud af hospitalet så meget, at jeg har glemt detaljerne omkring det.
But as well as then having 2 small children and a dad who was not well.
Men udover at have 2 små børn og en far, som var syg,
we also have my maternal grandmother to deal with.
Så havde vi også min mors mor at tage os af.
My grandmother had lived with our family from the time when I was 9.
Min mormor havde boet med familien siden jeg var 9 år gammel.
And she had outlived my mom, so my dad had become her carer.
Og hun havde levet længere end min mor, så min far var blevet hendes forsørger.
So when my dad was ill, when he was in hospital, we had grandmother to look after too.
Så da min far blev syg og var på hospitalet, var det os, der tog os af min mormor.
She was a very difficult lady.
Hun var en meget besværlig kvinde.
In 1986, our son Stephen was born.
I 1986 blev vores søn Stephen født.
And things seemed to settle a bit.
Og det virkede som om, der faldt lidt ro over tingene.
But in 1987, when Stephen was 13 months old.
Men i 1987, da Stephen var 13 måneder gammel.
He was diagnosed as having a rare form of children's cancer called neuroblastoma.
Der blev han diagnosticeret med en sjælden form for børnekræft, neuroblastoma.
He had a 7 centimeter tumor that was growing into the spinal column.
Han havde en 7 centimeter stor kræftcyste, som voksede ind i ryggraden.
So initially it was inoperable.
Så i starten var det ikke til at operere på.
And the treatment that Stephen had was shared between our local hospital and Great Ormond Street Hospital in London.
Og den behandling han skulle få, den blev delt mellem vores lokale hospital og et hospital i London.
And as you can imagine, that was an extremely difficult time, not just emotionally, but with the practicalities of two other children as well.
Og som I kan forestille jer, så var det en ekstremt svær tid, ikke bare følelsesmæssigt, men også praktisk, når man havde to små børn.
In 1988, Malcolm's dad had heart problems and was hospitalized.
I 1988 fik Malcolms far hjerteproblemer og blev indlagt.
And our daughter Catherine had a horrible accident that resulted in a complicated fracture of her lower leg.
Og vores datter Catherine kom ud for en ulykke, som gjorde, at hun fik et kompliceret brud på sit ben.
She had to have the bone plated.
Og hun måtte have plader på benet.
In 1989, our youngest child Rebecca was born.
I 1989 blev vores yngste datter Rebecca født.
And when Rebecca was a few weeks old, I went into hospital with Rebecca and Catherine for Catherine to have the plate removed.
Og da hun var nogle få måneder gammel, tog jeg ind på hospitalet med både hende og Catherine for at få de der plader fjernet fra Catherines ben.
By this time at the end of that decade, I was feeling a bit beaten up.
Så ved slutningen af det årti var jeg rimelig træt.
And somewhere in it all, although I didn't think consciously, I was apportioning blame for my circumstances onto God.
Og på en eller anden måde, selvom det nok ikke var bevidst, så gav jeg Gud skylden for mine omstændigheder.
Even though we had had a wonderful Thanksgiving service,
selvom vi havde haft en fantastisk Thanksgiving gudstjeneste,
when we took it on faith that Stephen had been healed, which was a bit ahead of the medics,
sådan en taksigelsesgudstjeneste, da vi gik ud fra, at Stephen var blevet helbredt, selvom det var lidt forud for lægerne.
Stephen, by the way, is now 24.
Og Stephen er nu 24.
And the medics recognized that they saw a miracle as they saw him healed of cancer.
Og lægerne anerkender, at de var vidne til et mirakel, da han blev helbredt for kræft.
But somehow after that, I expected everything to go all right.
Men efter det, så forventede jeg på en måde, at alt skulle gå okay.
But it continued to go wrong.
Men det blev ved med at gå skævt.
My mind and my memory were so full of the details of the events that I've outlined to you.
Mit sind og min hukommelse var så fyldt med detaljer af alt det, jeg var gået igennem.
I was incapacitated by them.
At de satte mig helt ud af spil.
To the point of being almost paralyzed emotionally and spiritually.
Helt til den grad, at jeg var nærmest paralyseret følelsesmæssigt og åndeligt.
My memory contained what I want to call a film that I didn't like watching.
I min hukommelse var der sådan en slags film, som jeg ikke brød mig om at se.
That would play in my mind at any opportunity.
Og den spillede i mit sind, når der var en chance for det.
And it was the film of the tragic events of that decade.
Og det var en film, der viste alle de tragiske hændelser, der var sket i løbet af det årti.
So many things would start the film rolling.
Der var masser af ting, der kunne sætte filmen i gang.
You know, when you're mom of young children, it's very hard to avoid hearing other people's experiences of childbirth.
Når man er en mor til små børn, så er det meget svært at undgå at høre andre folks oplevelser med at føde børn.
I would sit and listen politely.
Jeg ville sidde og lytte høfligt.
And smile or frown, depending on the story.
Og smile eller græmme alt efter historiens forløb.
I was doing the external I'm okay thing.
Jeg viste sådan udadtil, at jeg havde det okay.
But in my mind, the film was rolling.
Men bag mit blik, så rullede filmen.
The memories around the delivery of our dead child had been triggered.
Det satte minder i gang om, at da jeg skulle føde vores dødfødte barn.
And these memories in turn triggered memories of my mom's death.
Og de minder satte så minder i gang om min mors død.
And the fits that she had when the cancer had reached her brain.
Og de kramper hun fik når kræften nåede hendes hjerne.
And the memories of mum's time in hospital triggered memories of pediatric wards, children's wards we had known.
Og minderne om min mor på hospitalet satte sig gang i minder om børneafdelinger vi havde været på.
Far too many of them.
Alt for mange af dem.
And so the film would roll in my mind regularly.
Og filmen spillede sådan med jævne mellemrum i mit sind.
More often than daily.
Flere gange dagligt.
And it was definitely what we would class in England as a certificate 18, adults only film.
Og det var helt sikkert en film, der kun var for voksne.
And every time I watched it, I was wounded some more.
Og hver gang jeg så den, så blev jeg såret lidt mere.
You see, our unconscious minds cannot differentiate between an actual event and a memory.
Vores ubevidste sind kan ikke skelne mellem en virkelig hændelse og et minde.
So wounding that can occur from reliving memories.
Så den sårethed man kan opleve ved at genleve minder.
When you go over and over things in your mind.
Når man spiller filmen igen og igen i sit hoved.
That wounding is a very real one.
De sår man pådrager sig der er meget reelle.
The only valid reason that you have.
Den eneste valide grund man har.
To revisit any area of unhealed trauma or pain.
Til at besøge et sted med uhelet traume eller smerte.
Is to invite Jesus in to heal it.
Er for at invitere Jesus ind til at helbrede det.
Any other reason I want to argue is effectively emotional and spiritual self-harming.
En hver anden grund er, vil jeg påstå, en måde at skade sig selv fysisk og åndeligt på.
The other thing that this constant revisiting of trauma does.
En anden ting, som det her med hele tiden at vende tilbage til trauma gør ved en.
Is it causes us to become emotionally and spiritually frozen.
Er, at det gør os følelsesmæssigt og åndeligt frosne.
Malcolm and I spent about 10 years beginning about 1990.
Malcolm and I brugt cirka 10 år fra starten af 90'erne.
When the majority of our ministry was coming alongside families with HIV and AIDS.
Vores største delen af vores tjeneste var at støtte familier med HIV og AIDS.
One family that we befriended.
En familie som vi blev venner med.
Had a little boy who was the same age as our Stephen.
Havde en lille dreng som var på alder med vores Stephen.
And a little girl that was the same age as Rebecca.
Og en lille pige der var på alder med Rebecca.
And the little girl was HIV positive.
Og den lille pige var HIV positiv.
And I would visit the family about once a week to effectively just to babysit.
Og jeg besøgte familien cirka en gang om ugen for egentlig bare at babysitte.
To look after the children and give mom a bit of a break.
For at tage mig af børnene og give moren en pause.
And to watch over time the development of this little girl.
Og det at se over tid hvordan den lille pige udviklede sig.
In comparison with our own daughter of the same age.
I sammenligning med vores egen datter på samme alder.
Was tragic.
Var tragisk.
Watching this little girl, life being robbed by that horrible disease.
At se den her lille pige blive berøvet sit liv af en frygtelig sygdom.
I think we first knew this little girl Joyce when she was about one, and she died when she was four.
Jeg tror, vi lærte den lille pige her Joyce at kende, da hun var et år, og hun døde, da hun var cirka fire.
When we went to the funeral, we went first to the family house.
Da vi skulle til begravelsen, så tog vi først til familiens hus.
And we were a little bit surprised that the video camera was running.
Og vi var lidt overrasket over, at der var et tændt videokamera.
It was a cultural thing. It was very normal for that they were an African family, and it was very normal for their culture.
Men det var en kulturel ting. De var fra Afrika. Det var meget normalt i deres kultur.
But the camera continued to roll at the cemetery.
Men der blev stadig filmet, da vi nåede til kirkegården.
At the church and then back at the house.
Og i kirken, og da vi nåede tilbage til huset igen.
And 4 months after that little girl died.
Og 4 måneder efter den lille pige døde.
Every time we visited the mom, she would offer to show us the video of the funeral.
Så ville moren hver gang vi besøgte hende tilbyde at vise os videoen fra begravelsen.
You see, she was so stuck in her pain that she couldn't move on.
Hun sad så fast i sin smerte, at hun ikke kunne bevæge sig videre.
And it's a bit like the story We Have Great Expectations, written by Charles Dickens.
Det er lidt ligesom historien Store Forventninger af Charles Dickens.
Where a lady called Miss Havisham, her bridegroom doesn't turn up.
Hvor en kvinde, Mrs. Havisham, skal giftes, men hendes brudgom dukker ikke op.
And she remains until old age in her wedding dress.
Og indtil alderdommen bliver hun i sin brudekjole.
With the wedding feast around her all going moldy.
Med bryllupsfesten omkring hende, der får mug på sig.
The curtains drawn so that no light comes in.
Og gardinerne er trukket for, så der ikke trænger noget lys igennem.
and the cobwebs growing up round her. Cobwebs.
Og ja, spindelvæv, der dækker hele huset omkring hende.
You know, and that's what can happen to us when we get stuck in our pain.
Og det er det, der kan ske for os, hvis vi bliver fastlåst i vores smerte.
That which was intended for good, the feast, that which was intended for celebration.
Og det, som egentlig var tiltænkt noget godt, en fest og en fejring,
becomes rancid and moldy.
Bliver dødt og muggent.
And we're frightened to let the light in.
Og vi er bange for at lade lyset slippe ind.
So we keep the curtains drawn on our own private decaying world.
Så vi trækker gardinerne for, så ingen kan se vores private forfald.
So back to our story.
Men tilbage til vores historie.
Because I wasn't sure what God was doing in all my pain.
Fordi jeg ikke var sikker på, hvad Gud gjorde gennem al min smerte.
I effectively decided that the best thing to do was to keep him at arm's length.
Så besluttede jeg, at det bedste var at holde ham på afstand.
There are all sorts of reasons why we may want to do that.
Der er alle mulige grunde til, hvorfor vi vil gøre det.
But it's a wonderful truth that even at times when we give up on God, he doesn't give up on us.
Men det er en fantastisk sandhed, at selv når vi opgiver Gud, så opgiver han ikke os.
God persuaded me with a little help from a friend to go back to my prayer group.
Og Gud overtalte mig med lidt hjælp fra en ven, at jeg skulle vende tilbage til min bønnegruppe.
I did in a fairly petulant way, sort of giving God another chance to be nice to me.
Og det gjorde mig, men på sådan en måde, at jeg nærmest gav Gud en chance for at være god ved mig igen.
I really felt that he ought to be quite grateful that I was prepared to give him another chance under the circumstances.
Og jeg synes egentlig, alting taget i betragtning, at han burde være taknemmelig over, at jeg gav ham en chance til.
When we started to pray, I felt an incredible weight upon me.
Og da vi begyndte at bede, så følte jeg sådan en utrolig vægt på mig.
Such as I'd never felt before and have only felt once since.
En vægt, som jeg aldrig har følt før og kun én gang siden.
I've since understood this to be the glory of God, and I like that.
Jeg har siden forstået, at det er Guds herlighed, og det kan jeg godt lide.
But I didn't understand it at the time.
Men jeg forstod det ikke på, da det skete.
I had my hands on the armrest of the chair like that.
Jeg havde mine hænder på armlænet af stolen.
And I'm not really praying, and I'm certainly not expecting to receive anything kind of stance.
Men jeg beder ikke, og jeg forventer heller ikke rigtigt at modtage noget.
And I realized that I couldn't move them because of the weight that was on them.
Og jeg opdagede, at jeg ikke kunne bevæge mine arme, fordi der var sådan en vægt på dem.
I also felt this weight upon my head, kind of pushing me into the chair.
Og jeg følte den samme vægt på mit hoved, at jeg nærmest blev presset ned i stolen.
Needless to say, my stroppiness increased.
Og det er unødvendigt at sige, at min
stroppiness just in moodiness. Let's try moodiness.
Min humørsvingninger forøges.
I silently moaned to God that I'd come along to be uplifted.
Og jeg klagede lidt til Gud, at jeg var kommet for at blive opmuntret.
Because I was at rock bottom.
Fordi jeg var så langt nede, som jeg kunne være.
In the pits.
Helt nede i dalen.
And I certainly didn't need pushing down anymore. Thank
you. Og jeg behøvede ikke, at han skubbede mig endnu længere ned. Nej, tak.
So I silently prayed something like, if this is you, Lord, why am I feeling so pushed down?
Så jeg bad stille noget i stil med, hvis det her er dig, Gud, hvorfor føler jeg mig så skubbet ned?
The answer that I received to that question was an amazing answer.
Og det svar, jeg fik på spørgsmålet, var et fantastisk svar.
I wasn't used to receiving pictures from God.
Jeg var ikke vant til at modtage billeder fra Gud.
Although we had just started to be in a church where those sorts of things were happening.
Selvom vi lige var begyndt at komme i en kirke, hvor den slags ting skete.
But I decided that if I was going to see such things, I wanted to see nice holy pictures.
Men jeg havde besluttet, at hvis jeg skulle se billeder, så skulle det være nogle pæne, hellige billeder.
Angels, bright lights, me holding Jesus' hand, that sort of thing.
Engle og skinnende lys og mig, der holdt Jesus i hånden.
But the picture that I received from God in answer to that question was quite different to that.
Men det billede, jeg fik af Gud som svar på mit spørgsmål, var meget anderledes, end hvad jeg havde forestillet mig.
But it was such a perfect answer that it delighted my heart.
Men det var så perfekt et svar, at det glædede mit hjerte.
The picture was of a little children's toy.
Billedet var af noget børnelegetøj.
It was a little green plastic frog.
En lille grøn plastikfrø.
It was on a spring with a suction pad on the bottom.
Og det var på en fjeder med sådan en klisterting for en sugekop. Ja. Tak.
So the idea is that you press the toy down so that the suction pad holds on the table.
Og ideen er, at man presser legetøjet ned, så sugekoppen holder det fast på bordet.
And then you let go.
Og så slipper man.
And after a while, the force of the spring overcomes the force of the suction pad.
Og efter noget tid, så overvinder kraften fra fjederen, kraften fra sugekoppen.
And so the frog pops up.
Og så hopper frøen.
And I believe that God was saying that he was allowing me to be hard pressed for a season.
Og jeg tror, at Gud sagde til mig, at han tillod, at jeg blev trykket ned for en periode.
But that I would spring up.
Men at jeg ville springe op igen.
And that answer was good enough for me.
Og det svar var godt nok for mig.
I just knew that God had spoken into my life through that picture.
Jeg vidste, at Gud havde talt ind i mit liv gennem det billede.
And more importantly, that he did know what was going on, and he was in control.
Endnu vigtigere, at han vidste, hvad der skete, og at han havde kontrol.
So God was okay after all.
Så Gud var alligevel okay.
And so I think perhaps to do him another favor, the following day I got out my Bible and my Bible notes.
Så for at gøre ham endnu en tjeneste, så tog jeg dagen efter min Bibel og min bønnebog ud.
Almost certainly I had to dust them off.
Jeg var helt sikkert nødt til at støve dem af.
And the scripture that I read for that day was this.
Og det vers, jeg læste for den dag, var det her.
Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a path in the wilderness, streams in the desert. It's Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. It's okay?
Om jeg kan lige sige til jer, det er Esajas 43, vers 18-19. Og... Der er ikke nogen Esajas bog i den bibel der. Ja, det er svært. Ja, det er svært.
I think it's disappearing.
Apparently Isaiah is no
He's
longer
doing
in
a totally new thing. Yeah. Oh,
okay. Husk ikke på det, der skete tidligere. Giv ikke agt på fortiden. Nu skaber jeg nyt. Nu spirer det frem. Ved I det ikke? Jeg lægger vej i ørkenen og floder i ødemarken.
So it really says that in the NIV there's a verse about plastic frogs.
Så der står faktisk et vers i Bibelen om plastikfrøer.
It really says now it springs up.
Der står på engelsk nu springer den op.
And somewhere between the night of my frog picture.
Og et eller andet sted mellem den aften med mit frøbillede.
And the day of Isaiah 43.
Og dagen, hvor jeg læste Isaiah 43.
All copies of that mental horror film that wouldn't stop rolling.
Der blev alle kopier af den mentale film, der ikke ville holde op med at spille.
Were destroyed.
De blev ødelagt.
I haven't forgotten the events. I've just recounted them to you briefly.
Jeg har ikke glemt, hvad der skete. Jeg har lige fortalt jer om det.
But since that time, I can control the memories.
Men siden den gang, så kan jeg kontrollere minderne.
I can choose to remember things when I want to.
Jeg kan vælge at huske ting, når jeg vil.
My memories no longer control me.
Men mine minder kontrollerer ikke længere mig.
Praise God.
Pris Gud.
And I began to trust again in the God of the new thing.
Og jeg begyndte at stole på den Gud, der skaber nyt igen.
When our baby died and Malcolm and I were waiting in a little room at our local hospital.
Den gang vores baby døde, og Malcolm og jeg ventede i et lille rum på vores lokale hospital.
For me to be induced for the delivery.
Og vi ventede på, at jeg skulle blive sat i gang, så jeg kunne føde barnet.
A nurse walked in. She didn't know what had happened.
Der var der en sygeplejerske, der gik ind på, i rummet, og hun vidste ikke, hvad der var sket.
She took one look at our faces and said, "Cheer up, you'll be okay."
Hun kiggede lige hurtigt på os og sagde, hun op med humøret, det skal nok gå.
I told her that our baby had died.
Og jeg sagde til hende, at vores barn var dødt.
And she said, "It's okay to cry, you know. Jesus wept."
Hun sagde, det er okay at græde, Jesus græd også.
Now I can see that it was by God's grace that that nurse breezed into the room when she did.
Og nu kan jeg godt se, at det var ved Guds nåde, at den sygeplejerske kom ind, da hun gjorde.
But at the time I thought,
men da det skete, så tænkte jeg,
if I could do anything as dignified as weeping, I would.
Hvis jeg kunne gøre noget så ærbærdigt som at græde, så ville jeg.
But if I get in touch with this pain,
men hvis jeg kommer i kontakt med den her smerte,
if I dare to shed so much as a tear,
hvis jeg våger bare at græde en tåre,
there will be such a torrent I might disintegrate.
Så kommer der sådan en strøm, at jeg måske går helt i opløsning.
Jesus wept.
Jesus græd.
It is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept.
Det er det korteste vers i Bibelen. Jesus græd.
Isaiah 53:3 tells us he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief.
Og i Jesajas 53:3 står der, at han var en sorgens mand og kendte til smerte.
Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus.
Jesus græd ved Lazarus' grav.
He also wept over the city of Jerusalem.
Han græd også over Jerusalem.
He weeps for our broken, hurting world.
Og han græd over vores brudte verden i smerte.
That's the city of Jerusalem.
Det er Jerusalem.
But the God who has numbered the hairs on our heads.
Men den Gud, som har talt alle hår på vores hoved.
Also weeps with us personally in our tragic circumstances.
Han græder også med os personligt i vores tragiske omstændigheder.
At the tomb of Lazarus.
Ved Lazarus' grav.
Jesus wept with Malcolm and I when our baby died.
Jesus græd sammen med Malcolm og jeg, da vores barn døde.
And he sent an angel in the form of a nurse to tell us so.
Og han sendte en engel i skikkelse af en sygeplejerske for at lade os vide det.
But we didn't understand that at the time.
Men vi forstod det ikke, da det skete.
So what is God saying to you today?
Så hvad er det Gud siger til jer i dag?
Forget the former things, do not dwell on the past.
Glem det, der er sket tidligere, og hæng ikke fast i fortiden.
If your image of God is of a harsh, controlling father,
hvis dit billede af Gud er, at han er en streng og kontrollerende far,
you might think he would say things like,
så kan I måske forestille jer, at han ville sige ting som,
pull yourself together.
Tag dig sammen.
Are you still going on about that?
Tænker du stadig på det?
Isn't it time you let that go?
Er det ikke på tide, at du giver slip på det?
But our Father God never speaks to us that way.
Men vores far Gud taler aldrig til os på den måde.
God never says our pain, our wounds, our tragic circumstances don't matter.
Gud siger aldrig, at vores smerte og vores sorg og vores tragiske omstændigheder ikke betyder noget.
So what does he say?
Og hvad er det så han siger?
Well, if we move on 10 chapters in Isaiah from the frog.
Hvis vi bevæger os 10 kapitler frem i Isaias fra frøen.
Isaiah 53 verse 5 says.
Der står der i Isaias 53 vers 5.
He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed.
Der står, men han blev gennemboret for vores overtrædelser og knust for vores synder. Han blev straffet for, at vi kunne få fred. Ved hans sår blev vi helbredt.
By his wounds we are healed.
Ved hans sår er vi blevet helbredt.
How much does God care about our pain?
Hvor meget tager Gud sig af vores smerte?
Well, this much.
Så meget.
We are used to the idea of the cross being the place where our sin is dealt with.
Vi er vant til ideen om, at korset er et sted, hvor vores synd bliver taget hånd om.
We're sometimes a little bit slower to see that the cross is the place where our pain and woundedness is dealt with.
Og nogle gange tager det lidt længere tid for os at se, at korset også er det sted, hvor vores smerte og sårighed bliver taget hånd om.
God never says your pain's not very important in the greater scheme of things. Let it go.
Gud siger aldrig til os, din smerte betyder ikke særlig meget i det store billede, så slip den.
God says to us, your pain matters to me this much.
Gud siger til os, din smerte betyder noget for mig i den grad.
I've told you some of my story, but I don't know what may have caused your pain.
Jeg har fortalt jer noget af min historie, men jeg ved ikke, hvad der har skabt din smerte.
Your pain may be related to rejection, or it may be related to the things that you've lacked in life.
Din smerte kan stamme fra forkastelse eller fra ting, du har manglet i livet.
Or it may be related to betrayal or broken dreams.
Eller den kan være forbundet til forræderi eller brudte drømme.
Or any number of other things.
Eller en masse andre ting.
A young woman that I was praying with some time ago.
En ung kvinde, som jeg bad med for noget tid siden.
Whose pain was associated with parental abandonment.
Hvis smerte hang sammen med at blive forladt af sine forældre.
Came before the cross as we were praying.
Hun kom frem for en korset, som vi bad.
To that place of divine exchange.
Til det sted, hvor en guddommelig udveksling kunne finde sted.
And saw herself reclothed by God and wearing beautiful white garments.
Og hun så sig selv blive klædt på ny af Gud i smukke hvide klæder.
She looked at me in astonishment through her tears.
Og hun så forbløffet på mig gennem tårer.
And said, but how can I talk about what happened dressed like this?
Og sagde, men hvordan kan du tale om, hvad der er sket, når jeg er klædt sådan her?
You see, although she recognized her new garments as beautiful,
for selvom hun så, at hendes nye klæder var smukke,
they seemed to her to be lacking integrity.
Så virkede det på hende, som om der ikke var integritet.
To not be true to who she understood herself to be.
Som om hun ikke var tro mod, hvem hun forstod sig selv som at være.
Because she had so defined herself by the pain of her past.
Fordi hun i den grad havde defineret sig selv ved den smerte, hun havde oplevet tidligere.
God wants us to come into the place of freedom.
Og Gud ønsker, at vi skal komme til et sted, hvor der er frihed.
And to be identified as his children.
Og identificere os selv som hans børn.
Similarly, people who have experienced the death of a loved one.
Og på samme måde så mennesker, der har mistet en elsket.
Can feel that it's somehow disloyal to their memory to seek God for healing of that pain.
De kan føle, at det er illoyalt over for den, de har mistet, at søge Guds helbredelse for smerten.
But God doesn't ask us to pretend that those painful things didn't happen.
Men Gud beder os ikke om at lade som om de smertefulde ting ikke er sket.
They are a significant part of our story.
De er en vigtig del af vores historie.
But God does invite us to be healed of the pain.
Men Gud inviterer os alligevel til at blive helbredt for smerten.
So that we don't have to carry the heavy load of it any longer.
Så vi ikke skal bære den tunge byrde længere.
So those of you who minister to other people,
så de af jer, der tjener andre mennesker,
please don't just ask them to let the pain go.
I må endelig ikke bare bede dem om at slippe smerten.
Because that can sound as if it's something that can easily be discarded.
For det kan lyde som om det er noget man lidt kan feje hen.
The only place where we can truly let go of our pain.
Det eneste sted hvor vi i sandhed kan slippe vores smerte.
Is at the cross into the hands of the one.
Er vi i korset og i hænderne på den.
Who considers our tragic circumstances to be even more precious than we do ourselves.
Som betragter vores tragiske omstændigheder som endnu mere værdifulde end vi selv gør.
Into the hands of the one who has, as it says in Psalm 56.
I hænderne på ham, som det siger, som der står i Salme 56.
Collected all our tears and preserved them in his bottle.
Som har samlet alle vores tårer i sin flaske.
And recorded everyone in his book.
Og optegnet hver eneste i sin bog.
Jesus is the one we can trust with our pain.
Jesus er den, vi kan give vores smerte til i tillid.
When Jesus died on the cross,
da Jesus døde på korset,
he died for the sin of the world.
Døde han på grund af verdens synder.
And he also died for the pain of the world.
Men han døde også for verdens smerte.
For our woundedness.
For vores sårethed.
The crucifixion story in Mark 15 says,
i korsfæstelseshistorien i Markus 15 står der,
with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last.
Med et højt råb udåndede Jesus.
Now don't allow your heads to get you tangled up.
I må ikke lade jeres hoveder gøre jer helt forvirret.
In the difference between crying out and crying tears.
Over forskellen mellem at råbe ud og at græde tårer.
Just allow your heart to hear this.
Bare lad jeres hjerte høre det her.
On the cross, at the point of divine exchange.
På korset i øjeblikket af guddommelig udveksling.
With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last.
Døde Jesus med et højt råb.
With a loud cry.
Med et højt råb.
Christ cries with us and for us.
Kristus græder med os og for os.
Jesus' wounds are big enough.
Jesus sår er store nok.
For my pain and for yours.
Til min smerte og til din.
And for the pain of the whole world.
Og til hele verdens smerte.
By his wounds we are healed.
Ved hans sår har vi fået lægedom.
Just going to read you a brief paragraph.
Jeg vil lige læse en kort paragraf.
From a book called Hope Resurrected.
Fra en bog der hedder Genoprettet håb.
Written by Dutch Sheets.
Skrevet af Dutch Sheets.
During an open heart surgery that my brother Tim was allowed to witness.
Under en hjerteoperation som min bror Tim fik lov til at se.
The patient's heart had been stopped from beating.
Var patientens hjerte holdt op med at slå.
However, when it came time to restart it,
men da det blev tid til at starte hjertet igen,
despite repeated attempts,
så på trods af gentagne forsøg,
the medical staff was unable to get the heart to beat again.
Kunne personalet ikke få hjertet til at slå igen.
Finally, although the patient was obviously unconscious,
og endelig, selvom patienten tydeligvis var ved manglende bevidsthed,
the surgeon leaned over and said into the patient's ear.
Så lænede kirurgen sig over og sagde i patientens øre.
We need your help.
Vi har brug for din hjælp.
We cannot get your heart going.
Vi kan ikke sætte dit hjerte i gang igen.
Tell your heart to start beating.
Sig til dit hjerte at det skal begynde at slå.
Immediately, as incredible as it sounds.
Og øjeblikkeligt så utroligt som det end lyder.
The patient's heart began to beat again.
Begyndte patientens hjerte at slå igen.
Yours can beat again too.
Og dit hjerte kan også begynde at slå igen.
But you must tell your heart to live.
Men du må sige til dit hjerte, at det skal leve.
By speaking truth, God's word to it.
Ved at tale sandhed, Guds ord til det.
And yes, even by commanding it to beat again.
Og ja, endda ved at befale det at slå igen.
In the middle of your pain this afternoon.
Midt i din smerte her i eftermiddag.
Will you choose to tell your heart to start beating again?
Vil du så vælge at sige til dit hjerte at det skal begynde at slå igen?
Because Good Friday was not the end of the story.
For langfredag var ikke slutningen på historien.
We come not just to the cross but through the cross.
Og vi kommer ikke bare til korset, men gennem korset.
To the place of resurrection, to that glorious Easter Sunday morning.
Til et sted af genopstandelse og den fantastiske søndag morgen.
Will you choose today to let go of the things that are hurting you?
Vil du vælge i dag at give slip på de ting, der har såret dig?
Not because they don't matter anymore.
Ikke fordi de ikke længere betyder noget.
But because the Lord cares so much about your pain that he would carry it for you.
Men fordi Gud bekymrer sig så meget om din smerte, at han gerne vil bære den for dig.
When Jesus' side was pierced through on the cross.
Da Jesus' side blev gennemstukket på korset.
Blood and water flowed from him.
Flød der både vand og blod fra ham.
When the gospel writers recorded that.
Da evangelieskriverne nedskrev det.
They didn't know its full significance.
Så vidste de ikke til fulde hvad det betød.
Now we know medically that it's a sign of a ruptured heart.
Nu ved vi medicinsk at det er et tegn på et iturevet hjerte.
On the cross Jesus not only took our sin.
På korset tog Jesus ikke kun vores synd.
He took all our pain and woundedness.
Han tog os al vores smerte og sårethed.
All my pain.
Al min smerte.
All your pain.
Og al din smerte.
All the pain of our hurting human race.
al smerten fra vores sårede menneskehed.
Down through the ages.
Gennem hele tiden.
He took upon himself on the cross.
Alt det tog han på sig selv på korset.
No wonder his heart broke.
Det er ikke utroligt, at hans hjerte blev brudt.
Jesus stands before each one of us right now.
Jesus står foran hver enkelt af os nu.
His arms outstretched.
Hans arme er rakt ud.
The crucified one.
Den korsfæstede.
With his hands and his side wounded for us.
Og hans hænder og hans side er såret for os.
And this Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ.
Og denne frelser, vores Herre Jesus Kristus.
Invites you to let him carry the pain for you.
Tilbyder dig at lade ham bære smerten for dig.
So that you don't have to bear the weight of it any longer.
Sådan at du ikke skal bære vægten af det længere.
Will you choose today to accept his invitation?
Vil du vælge i dag at tage imod hans invitation?
To engage in that divine exchange.
At være en del af den guddommelige udveksling.
Let's stand and I'll pray.
Lad os stå op og bede.
Lord Jesus, thank you.
Herre Jesus, tak.
Lord Jesus, thank you.
Herre Jesus, tak.
Jesus, thank you for the price that you paid.
Jesus, tak for den pris du betalte.
And Lord God, we want to say sorry.
Og Gud, vi vil gerne sige undskyld.
Where we have struggled on under this pain.
Hvor vi er blevet ved med at kæmpe under den her smerte.
Not realizing all that you've done for us.
Uden at indse alt hvad du har gjort for os.
And Lord, we don't want to carry it any longer.
Men Gud, vi vil ikke bære den længere.
We thank you that you will carry it for us.
Vi takker dig for at du vil bære det for os.
That you will take from us our pain.
At du vil tage vores smerte fra os.
And pour your healing upon us.
Og udgyde din helbredelse over os.
And Lord, we are choosing to engage in that divine exchange.
Og Gud, vi vælger at blive en del af den guddommelige udveksling.
Now this time is really for you to do business with God.
Det her er en tid hvor du må handle med Gud.
We've cleared space around the cross and I would suggest that if you know that you have business to do.
Vi har ryddet noget plads over ved korset og jeg vil foreslå at hvis du ved du har noget du skal ordne med Gud.
You just take yourself over there now and stand or kneel or whatever you want to do. And give God the pain.
Så kan du stå derover nu eller knæle eller hvad du har lyst til og give Gud smerten.
And wait to receive his healing.
Og så vent på at modtage hans helbredelse.
This isn't really something that we as a team can pray for you.
Det er ikke noget vi som team kan bede for dig.
It's between you and God.
Det er mellem dig og Gud.
So come now.
Så kom nu.